Good morning. You guys can say it back. Thank you. Good morning. Different congregations have different traditions, right? Our God is a God of fresh starts and second chances. Our God is a God of new beginnings and astounding victories. I personally believe that the conquest period of the book of Joshua is actually a theological lesson for all of us in how we can have spiritual victories in Jesus. It teaches us how we can live powerful and pure and purposeful lives and have our own glory days just as they did back in their day. So if you're ready for some glory days this morning, if you're ready for some victory in your spiritual life, you have come to the right place. I've entitled today's message, "The Lord Will Fight For You." It's taken from Joshua 1, beginning at verse 3, and the song that we just sung is taken from the same basic text where Joshua is encouraging the people to be strong and courageous as they go about this very challenging task, taking on the giants and the fortified cities of the land of Canaan. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Joshua says, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." Actually, this is God speaking, verse 5. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." The plan today is to have four simple points. Point one, we're going to look at the promise and the importance of God's presence when he says over and over again, "I will be with you." Then secondly, I want us to move on to the fact that this idea that God fights for us is actually a recurring theme throughout the book of Joshua and actually the entire Bible. Then I want us to look at what does the term "God fights for you," these simple four words, what do they really mean to us practically today? And then finally, what impact does this have on the final victory as we all stand before God one day in judgment? To illustrate the power of the promise of God's presence, I want to begin with a true life illustration. It goes back to about 2011. There was a 13-year-old boy by the name of Nadine Corey. He was 5'2" and 100 pounds soaking wet. And his teenage attackers were larger and older and ran in a pack of seven. And on a cold day in January 2011, for 30 minutes, these bullies hit and kicked and beat him up rather severely. They drug him through the snow and hung him on an iron rail fence. Poor little Nadine never stood a chance. Nadine Curry's mom had recently moved to Philadelphia. She had lost her job as a hotel maid and was looking for work. In 2000, she had escaped from her war-torn home country of Liberia. Her son was a new kid living in a rough neighborhood, and her mom was an unemployed immigrant with a funny accent. Everything this wolf pack of bullies needed to justify an attack. The hazing had begun weeks earlier. They'd been calling him names and picking on him for months. But on this day, there was an all-out assault that could have killed little Nadine. Fortunately, Nadine survived the attack and would have likely faced many more, except for the folly of one of the bullies who foolishly recorded the whole pile-on on his smartphone and then posted it to YouTube. His hubris turned out to be his downfall because the video went viral. This viral video went viral. The neighbors saw it and got angry. The police saw it and got involved. The troublemakers landed in jail And the story reached the newspaper. Later, Nadine was invited to appear on The View to tell his story. And as the video played on the screen behind him, he tried to appear brave. He said with a quivering lip, "Next time they could pick on somebody even smaller than me, what would happen to them?" Unbeknownst to Nadine, the producer had invited some fellow Philadelphians to appear in the show with him. And as the YouTube video ended, the curtain opened and three huge men walked out, members of the Philadelphia Eagles football team. And one of them was an all-pro wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, that surprised everyone. And Jackson walked over, sat on the couch with little Nadine, and promised him something very important. He said, "Anytime you need us, you have me and these two linemen right here." Then in full view of every bully in America, he gave the boy his cell phone number. From that day forward, Nadine had been and would be only a call away from his personal bodyguards. Thugs think twice before they harass the kid who has an NFL football player's number on speed dial. I find that a pretty amazing offer, mighty empowering for little Nadine, don't you think? I mean, who wouldn't love to have that type of protection and for the whole world to know that you have it? But I believe that Nadine Corey is not the only person to feel like the new kid on the block, often facing a hostile environment. Trials and traumas and tribulations are a part of all of our spiritual journeys. And we have exactly what God promised Joshua if we are determined to be strong and courageous and do God's will. We have God himself on speed dial, and he's never too busy to listen, and we never get a busy signal. Today we're going to talk about the presence of God and how critical it is to living a promised land life now. I think all of us need to understand better the nature of our God and the potential for his direction and protection and power in our lives. In Joshua 1 and verse 5, we read the following amazing statement. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, and I will not fail you. And I will not forsake you." When I think about this kind of promise, I like to personalize it. My God is with me. My God will not forsake me. That is true for every believer who is serious about serving the Lord. It's a powerful, positive affirmation. You see, the Amorites, they had their home field advantage, that's true. But God is saying it doesn't matter because you have the advantage of the King of Heaven on your side. It's if God said, yes, Jericho has its thick, tall walls, that's true. But you have me, so you need not be afraid. The enemies have chariots and you have none. All that's true. But I'm stronger still, and I will not leave you or forsake you. So God tilts the scales in the favor of Joshua because they trusted in his presence and power. The question I want to ask all of us this morning is, will you allow God to do the same for you when it's time for you to fight your spiritual battles? When you hear the key words, "I am with you. I am for you." Can you personalize that and make that your own? Joshua does not give us chariots, but he ultimately does give us Jesus Christ. And we're told in the New Testament, the same promise is assured us if we will simply be strong and courageous in our determination to be Christian soldiers. Notice Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. "For God said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can any man do unto me?" You know, you think about that verse and you think, well, what can anyone do unto me? A lot. Think about little Nadin, what they had done unto him. They could have easily killed him. And that's true for us as well. When we look out, people can lie about me and you. They can slander you and your reputation. They can deceive other people. They can injure me. They can terrorize me. They can bully me. And the question here is not if the Lord during those times is your helper. The question is, what are we going to do about it, and what is going to be our perspective? Paul said in Romans, let God be true and every man be a liar. In this particular verse, there's a Greek compound word. The term helper here actually means to shout and to run at the same time. The idea is when you need help, that God comes running with a shout and says, I'm here to help you. Reminds me of Psalm 46 and verse 1, where David said, God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. So he never leaves you, ever. You've always got him on speed dial. He's there at your beck and call if you will simply, by faith, look up to him. Beloved, being aware of feeling and knowing the presence of God is what Nehemiah expressed when he was going about doing God's will. He was being persecuted. There was enemies on every side. They're building the wall with a shovel in one hand, and they had to have a sword in the other to defend themselves. But he says, the Lord's favorable hand is upon us in everything. It's a wonderful thing to be out living your life and to sense that the favorable hand of the Lord is upon you, and that you feel his presence and his promises and his strength. Since God is strong, we can be strong because he's right there with us. Since he is able, we can be able. We're told that we have access to all the treasures and the wisdom of Christ and all knowledge. We just have to, according to James 1, remember to ask for it. But so many people don't receive because they don't ask. And at the time of their greatest need, they don't really believe. What a shame that is. Because glory days, spiritual victories, are only given to those who understand these principles we're talking about today. The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will not fear what's going on around me. But see, it gets better than just this. The biggest and best news is not only that we are here as Christian soldiers to put on Christian armor and to fight for the Lord. We need to remember the explanation for the victory at the end of this book. All of these massive victories, no defeats except the little incident there at Ai. He says, what brought about all of this massive victory? He says, the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And all of our victories are going to come from understanding this principle as well. The end of the book of Joshua, Joshua says, I'm advanced in age. I'm getting ready to go the way of all flesh. And he calls the whole nation together in this massive echo chamber there at Shechem. And he announces to all the people, you need to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I have chosen Jehovah in my life. And look at the difference that it has made. But don't give me the credit for what happened at the Jordan River when it opened or when Jericho's walls fell. Victory after victory, he discusses 20 successful battles, but he gives credit where credit is due. And he wants the people to never to forget that it is the Lord God that fought for you. Reminds me of Proverbs 21 verse 31. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. So you have to do your part. But the victory belongs to the Lord. And throughout the book of Joshua, we're told as they go through all these different battle plans that ultimately it's God that's behind all of this. I want you to notice this recurring theme throughout the book. The initial call to battle, Joshua told his men, "You go in and possess the land, for the Lord your God is giving you this land to possess. It's a gift you receive from God. You've just got to claim your inheritance. It's already given, but you by faith need to go in and take it." On the eve of the Jordan crossing, Joshua declared, "The Lord will do wonders among you." And he did. He parted the waters of the River Jordan. And as they stood on the western side of that river, Joshua declared, "The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan, just as he did Moses and the waters of the Red Sea." And on the outskirts of Jericho, Joshua said to his people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." I want you to notice, before the first sword is taken out of its sheath, before the first archer sends the first arrow, he says, the battle's already won because God has declared it. You just have to have the faith to go and believe it. And when you do that, God works wondrous things as you live by faith. The entire narrative in the book of Joshua says God claiming, God giving, God defending. Joshua summarized the victory this way: "For the Lord has driven out from among you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you this day." And I love this particular promise. It's an amazing statement. He says, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you." That's just an amazing statement. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Don't you just love that image? Can you imagine one Hebrew soldier with his sword out by faith chasing a whole battalion of Canaanites? Why? Because the Lord put fear in their hearts. And so they scattered like a bunch of scared pigeons because one faithful soldier who believed what God had told them, was strong and courageous, as we just sang, was going about doing God's will. He's going to manipulate nature to put the thumb on the scale so that they can win these battles. In Deuteronomy 7 and in Exodus 23 and verse 28, we're told that God is going to send out hornets, so that the hornets are out chasing these Amorites, leaving you alone, but chasing the Amorites up that hill as you have this wonderful victory after victory after victory. We find a similar statement in Leviticus 26, beginning at verse 6. He says, "He shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble." See, their forefathers had gone in, seen the giants, and were a bunch of scaredy cats. "We can't take them. They're too big for us." But this generation goes in, and instead it's not that they're afraid of these giants. These giants and these Canaanites are now afraid of them, because God had made it so. Another part of this that is often forgotten, he says, "I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through the land, but you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword." According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it says back in that day there were lions and bears and ferocious leopards, things that certainly were not found in the wilderness and very rarely found in Egypt. So in many cases, these people had never seen these ferocious animals. You imagine how frightened they would be. God says, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to make it so that these animals will leave you alone, and you'll have a sense of peace about you. And I, the God of nature, am on your side." And in these battles, on one occasion, the sun's going to stand still to help them finish off a victory. On another occasion, the rain's going to turn into hail, and the hail is just going to fall on the enemy and not upon you. Because wondrous things happen when you go out by faith and let God fight for you. Notice this statement here, and the odds are even greater than what he said earlier. He says, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And in Deuteronomy 32, when Moses was talking about what was going to happen when they go into the land, he says, how can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? 5,000 to one odds. Unless the Lord has given them up. And God's already told you, you are acting as my holy army of hosts, doing my bidding and my will. And you step forward, you step into fear, and it will disappear. And you'll do mighty things to my glory, because my presence and my power and my promises will be with you. Verse 9, so I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. There's that Shekinah glory idea. That's the Hebrew word for dwelling. See, my presence is with you, and my soul will not reject you, and I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people, because you have this wonderful fellowship and relationship that gives you the ability to do great things in my name and win with odds that are insurmountable, and your enemies again scattered like scared pigeons. The book of Joshua, particularly the conquest period, just fascinates me. It's a book of astounding victories and glory days, and I believe it's a foreshadowing of the testimony of what God says is possible when we today, as modern day soldiers, need to do his will even against unbelievable odds. When we can pick up the sword of the Spirit and put on the breastplate of righteousness and wear the helmet of salvation and girdle on that belt of truth, we can vanquish the evil and the enemies all around us and have tremendous victories, just like the early church did when they went forth through faith, being strong and courageous. So, do you know what this term, God is fighting for you, really means? Have you ever seen this as a passage that has modern day application for us in a very meaningful way? I mean, we're not fighting physical battles anymore. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But the Amorites of your life, fear, dread, hatred, hurt, they come upon us oftentimes like a legion of hoodlums, 1,000 at a time. But we can stand and defy them in the name of Christ. Maybe in the past you ran away and gave up. But now you can say, along with Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Why? Because you sense God's presence and his power. And you turn and face them. You unsheath the promise of God's word and you defy the enemies of God's cause. So we can face our demons that are within and without. And we can say, in essence, get out of here, shame. Be gone, guilt. No more fear of death. No more regrets over the past. We can take on these puny attacks and send them on their way. Others may shudder in fear and live as cowards. But you and I, we can be strong and courageous. And holding and believing in God's promises in our heart, we can experience his presence and his power in our life. In James 4 and verse 7, James says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. Why? Well, 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And of course, we have Jesus Christ and his authority. behind the things that we do when we are determined to put on the armor of light and to fight the good fight. When we're tempted, we can say with Jesus, "Get ye behind me, Satan. My faith in the power of God working in me will provide me the victory that will enable me, with God's help, to move the proverbial mountain." This is glory day living. Other people may quake in fear, but we're not worried about the past. We're not like the generation that gave the evil report, said they're too big for us. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we are in our sight. So many people limp away and whine and look at what the world's coming to, and they don't see that as simply a calling for us to come forth, even though the odds are all against us, to go out there and believe that the Lord will fight for us. I want to ask you something. Is this thought somewhat new to you? Up until recently, it really was somewhat for me. I mean, I was taught about God being the creator and the redeemer and the king and the place where we can find refuge. That's kind of been my comfort level. God made us. He watches over us. He directs us. He knows even the hair of our head. The problem with many people, though, is that they stop there. And if that's where you stop and you're thinking about God, I want you to realize your God is too small. Because the Bible teaches that God fights for you if you are strong and courageous and fight the victory of faith. He blazes the trail ahead of you. He's clearing out all the threatening wild animals that may have been difficult in the past. But now you can be at peace with them and they with you. I mean, I think metaphorically God is saying, if you just go out, just like the disciples and the early Christians did in the book of Acts that overcame great odds and did great things and the church experienced great growth. What was happening? Metaphorically, it was collapsing walls, stilling the sun, having rain, hail on the devil and all his forces. And our God also fulfills his promises and empowers us as believers. So, did you know that God says that he will fight for you and that that is found throughout the Bible? Not just in Joshua. In Moses, in Exodus 14, verse 14, you remember they were back up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming after them, getting ready to pounce upon them. The people were scared to death and they start crying out to Moses. And Moses says, "Be still, be calm." He says, "Jehovah will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." David, when he's taking on Goliath, everyone else was intimidated except David, who had this tender-like heart and such great faith. Psalm 17:47, he tells Goliath, "I will smite thee, that all may know there is a God in Israel, and so that all this assembly may know that the battle is Jehovah's." And based on this experience, David later wrote in Psalm 35, verse 1, "The Lord will fight against those who fight against you." Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8, completely surrounded by the Assyrian forces, and Sennacherib had destroyed all the other Judean cities around them, and now the jewel of Jerusalem was all that was left to defeat. Fortunately, Hezekiah was a man of faith. And they're getting ready to besiege the city the next morning. And he tells the people on the wall who are frightened, he says, "Do not be afraid. With Sennacherib is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, who is here to help us and to fight our battles. Therefore, do not be afraid." And they woke up the next morning, and 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers were dead. And the text just says, the next morning, Sennacherib departed. And Jerusalem was spared. Isn't it a mighty, amazing God that we serve? Nehemiah said, our God will fight for us. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20. It's a theme of the Bible. My question is, as a Christian, is this a theme of your life? Is this what you think about as you're taking on your own difficulties and your own challenges? I want you to consider these four words because each one of them is so powerful. God fights for you. What do each one of those words mean to you? Let's look first at the word God. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. The Lord, He is God. He is God alone. Hear, O Israel. He is your king. He is your supreme ruler. He is your absolute monarch. He is timeless. He is infinite. He is invincible. He is sovereign. He is the Almighty. When we say God fights for you and He says, I'll be with you, do we really recognize and realize what that means practically? How can you lose when God is at your side? We live in a materialistic society where everything's about money, it seems. But you know, what really makes you rich is not your material possessions. It's who you have standing beside you. And in Jesus Christ, we have the Lord Himself and our fellow soldiers, our band of brothers and sisters that are there to fight the fight of faith with us. So, God fights. What do you mean by that? Well, He deploys His angels. He commands the weather. He stands down Goliaths and vacates cemeteries. And He walks on water. And He brings causes that it appears are just lost causes, and He brings them back to life again. God fights for your health, your family, your faith, your restoration. Are the gods against you? Are they intimidating to you? The key is to remember that God is not a God that is concerned about any kind of odds. In fact, the greater the odds are against us, the greater that He can act and people can see that it is Him and not us. God fights for you. Yes, if you're a believer, you out there with that sordid past and maybe a receding hairline like yours truly, you with maybe the absentee dad or the bad back or the bad credit or the dead-end job, you, the one who fights for you. He doesn't just fight for the rich and beautiful people. No, He loves to pick out the ordinary people and do extraordinary things through them. He fights for all of His adopted children who are His heirs, specially chosen people of faith. And the question is that you? Are you a specially chosen person of faith? Remember, the big news is, the key point to remember is that the big news of the Bible is not that you fight for God, but that if you'll just let Him, God will fight for you. He won't just comfort you. He just won't be at peace for you, but He is an unparalleled source of empowerment. You ever been maligned or abused or bullied or slandered or gossiped about unfairly? I have. I mean, who hasn't lived long enough to experience such things? One of the things that I value more than anything else is loyalty. I love the phrase, a true friend is someone who walks in when everybody else walks out. And it's a wonderful thing when maybe gossip is swirling around, but then you have some dear friends who don't believe the gossip and come to you and find out the truth and defend you. And you, boy, that's what true friendship is made out of. And we're told that God is there to defend us, and that the recording angels are there recording everything that really happened, and that God is always there to rush to our defense. And with God and one righteous person makes a majority. Fellow child of heaven, God is faithful when no one else is. He's always proven his devotion and faithfulness and power. And when everything was on the line, after the Pandora's box of sin was opened, God fought for your soul and mine. When he died on the cross for my sins and yours, he was fighting for your salvation. When Jesus took on Satan in the wilderness, he fought for your peace. When he gave the Holy Spirit as our guide in John 16:13, he was fighting for your life and mine. And if you miss this truth, you might as well plan a mailbox in the wilderness, a place of unbelief. But if you understand this truth and live by it and let your mind soak up the promise, you'll appreciate the fact that God in the Bible is your guardian. In Psalm 121 and verse 3, God will not let you stumble. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither doze nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He is right at your side to protect you. The Lord guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He will watch over your comings and going. He guards you now, and he guards you always. Wow, what a wonderful reminder that is. And how does this provide a final victory for us? You know, I mentioned earlier that at the very end of Joshua's life, that he calls the nation together and kind of gives them this great swan song, this great admonition. And a part of that, in Joshua 12:9-23, the Holy Spirit itemizes all these victories that Israel had. And it's quite fascinating. He says, the king of Jericho, -1. The king of Ai, -1. The king of Jerusalem, -1. The king of Hebron, -1. And it goes on and on and on. There's 31 lines. Each line names a defeated king. And then the word one. What is that? It's like a Hebrew check mark. We had all these battles with these 31 kings, and you're just checking them off one by one by one by one by one. It's as if he's saying and reminding the people what was the score. Joshua and God's people, who were strong and courageous, 31. These mighty Canaanites, 0. That's what happens when you let the Lord fight for you. Now, how does this relate to you and I when we stand before God in judgment? You know, oftentimes we think of judgment as when God reveals all of our sins. It's kind of a negative thing. There's another side of judgment that's often forgotten. 1 Corinthians 4:5. God will give to each one whatever praise is due. And so when you stand before God, yes, if there's unrepented sin in your life, that's going to be dealt with. But hopefully you come before him as someone washed in the blood of Jesus. And he spends the time looking at the battles that you fought when you were doing God's will. And you can stand there together and savor the victory. Where it's Jesus and you, and you're waiting for the crown of life. And he can rejoice with you when you were struggling with greed, but you conquered it. And he says, one, maybe struggling with your temper and angry outburst, but you overcame that with God's help. One, how about envy? There's another one. How about abused as a child, yet now you're stable as an adult? How about you were tempted with drugs, yet you became sober and steady? How about you strayed off course, but yet you returned with vigor? One, 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 all these victories, one by one. How about Satan? Yes, there were some victories. We're all going to give in to Satan at times. But at the bottom line, our life is we have all these jewels in our crown, and God commends us and says, well done. thou good and faithful servant. This is your inheritance as a Christian who lives by faith. More victory than defeat, more joy than sadness, more hope than despair. Because these days are meant to be glory days, leading to the ultimate glories of heaven. And that's what I wish for each of us. And I want us not to forget that the same power and presence and access that was available to Joshua is available to us in the New Testament. But we, by faith, have to first believe, understand the victory has already been given, and then claim it. So the question is, are you ready to join the Lord's army? Not be passive, but be aggressive in seeing the needs that are out there, and with God's help, have the courage to fight the battles. You know, the Marines used to have a statement. They'd say, we're looking for the few and the proud. I think God's army is a little different. He's looking for the few and the humble, and those that are willing to only boast in the Lord. Another statement from the Marines I like, it's the Latin, Semper Fidelis, sometimes just shortened to Semper Fi, which means always be faithful. And that's really what we ought to be doing for one another. When you come together into the assembly, we ought to kind of give each other a high five and remind each other to Semper Fi. Always be faithful as we go out there and fight for the Lord. And what a difference it makes if we remember that we can defeat our own Goliaths to the Lord's glory if we just remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. So as we sing this invitation song, I want to encourage us all to fill our lungs with air and our hearts with hope as we sing, "The battle belongs to the Lord." Let's be standing for our song, please.